My dear brothers and sisters, I thank the Lord for his kindness and that I have been permitted to join with you in another glorious conference. I have been blessed as a result of your faith and prayers. And as a result of your faith and prayers during the past few months, my heart has been touched as I have learned of the many children, youth, and adults of the church whose lives are being changed by a study of the Book of Mormon. You are helping to cleanse the inner vessel. God bless you for it. The great test of life is obedience to God. We will prove them herewith, said the Lord, to see if they will do all things whatsoever their Lord hath commanded them. The great task of life is to learn the will of the Lord and then do it. The great commandment of life is to love the Lord. Come unto Christ, exhorts Moroni in his closing testimony, and love God with all your mind, might, and strength. This then is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. It is the pure love of Christ, called charity, that the Book of Mormon testifies is the greatest of all that can never faileth, that endureth forever, and that all men should have, and that without which they are nothing. Wherefore, my brethren, pleads Moroni, pray unto the Father with all the energy of thy heart, that ye may be filled with his love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. In the closing accounts of both the Jaredites and the Nephites, Moroni records that except they shall be pure, the love of Christ, called charity, they cannot inherit the place which Christ has prepared in the mansions of his Father, nor can they be saved in the kingdom of God. the fruit that Lehi partook of in his vision and that filled his soul with exceeding great joy, and that was most desirable above all things, was the love of God. To love with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength is all-consuming and all-encompassing. It is no lukewarm endeavor. It is total commitment of your very physical, mental, and emotional, and spiritual to love the Lord. The breadth, depth, and height of this love of God extends into every facet of one's life. Our desires, be they political or temporal, should be rooted in a love of the Lord. Our thoughts and affections should be centered on the Lord. Let all thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord, says Alma. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Why did God put the first commandment first? Because he knew that if we truly loved him, he would want to keep all of his commandments. For this is the love of God, says John, that we keep his commandments, each one of them. We must put God in the forefront of everything else in our lives. We must come first. He must come first, just as he declares in the first of his Ten Commandments, thou shalt love no other gods before me. When we put God first, all other things fall into their proper place or drop out of our lives. Our love of the Lord will govern the claims of our affection and demands on our time. The interests we pursue and the order of our priorities. We should put God ahead of everyone else in our lives. When Joseph was in Egypt, what came first in his life? His job, or Potiphar's wife? When she tried to seduce him, he responded by saying, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph was put in prison because he put God first. If we are to are faced with a similar situation, where would we place the first loyalty? Can we put God ahead of security, peace, passions, wealth, and the honors of men. When Joseph was forced to choose, he was anxious to please God than to please his employer's wife. When we are required to choose, are we more anxious to please God than our boss, our teacher, our neighbor, or our date? The Lord said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." One of the most difficult tests of all is when you have to choose between pleasing God or pleasing someone you love or respect, particularly a member of your family. Nephi faced that test and handled it well when his good father temporarily murmured against the Lord. Job maintained his integrity with the Lord, even though his wife told him to curse God and die. The scripture says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Sometimes we must choose to honor the father or our mortal father. We should give God the father of our spirits an exclusive preeminence in our lives. He has a prior parental claim on our eternal welfare ahead of all other ties that may bind us here or hereafter. God our Father, Jesus our elder brother, and our Redeemer, and the Holy Ghost, the testator, are perfect. They know us best and love us most, and will not leave one thing undone for our eternal welfare. Should we not love them in the honor and honor them first? There are faithful members who joined the church in spite of objections to their mortal relatives. By putting God first, many later became the instruments to lead those loved ones into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "I do always those things that please God." Are we striving to put the Lord first and to please Him? Fathers, would it please the Lord if there were daily family prayer and scripture reading in your homes? And what about holding of weekly home evenings and a periodical having individual time with your wife and your child? And if your child went temporarily astray? Do you think it would be pleasing unto the Lord? And he would honor your efforts if you continued to live an exemplary life, consistently prayed and frequently fasted for that child, and kept the name of the son or daughter on the payroll. You mothers who are especially charged with the righteous rearing of the youth of Zion, are you not putting God first when you honor your divine calling by not leaving the home front to follow the ways of the world? Our mothers put God first when they fill their highest mission within the walls of their own homes. Children, do you pray for your parents? Do you try to support them in their noble endeavors? They will make mistakes like you, but they have a divine mission to accomplish in your life. Will you help them do so? Will you add honor to their name and bring comfort and support to them in their older years? If someone wants to marry you outside the temple, whom will you strive to please, God or a mortal? If you insist on temple marriage, you will be pleasing the Lord and blessing the other party. Why? Because that person will either become worthy to go to the temple, which would be a blessing, or will leave, which could be a blessing, because neither of you should want to be unequally yoked together. You should qualify for the temple. Then you will know that there is no one good enough for you to marry outside the temple. If such individuals are that good, they will get themselves in a condition so that they can be married in the temple. We bless our fellow men, and most when we put the first commandment first. Whatever God requires is right, said the prophet Joseph Smith. And so Nephi slew Laban, and God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Had Abraham loved Isaac more than God, would he have consented? As the Lord indicates in the Doctrine and Covenants, both Abraham and Isaac now sit as gods. They were willing to offer, to be offered up as the Lord required. They have a deeper love and respect for each other. Both were willing to put God first. The Book of Mormon teaches that it must needs be that there is opposition in all things. And so there is. Opposition provides choices, and choices bring consequences, good or bad. The Book of Mormon explains that men are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. God loves us, and the devil hates us. God wants us to have a fullness of joy as he has. The devil wants us to be miserable as he is. God gives us commandments to bless us. The devil would have us break all of these commandments to curse us. Daily, constantly, we choose by our desires, our thoughts, and our actions whether we want to be blessed or cursed, happy or miserable. One of the trials of life is that we do not usually receive immediately the full blessings of righteousness or the full cursings of weakness. That it will come is certain, but oftentimes there is a waiting period that occurs, as was the case with Job and Joseph. In the meantime, the wicked, they are getting away with something. The Book of Mormon teaches that the wicked have joy in their works for a season, but by and by cometh the end. They are hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence there is no return. During his testing period, the righteous must continue to love God, trust in his promises, be patient, and be assured, as the poet said, that who does God's work will get God's pay. However long may seem the day, however weary be the way, no mortal hand can God's hand stay. He may not pay as others pay, in gold or land or raiments gay, in goods that perish or decay. But God's high wisdom knows a way, and this is sure, let come what may, who does God's work will get God's pay. I testify to you that God's pay is the best pay this world or any other world knows anything about. And it comes in full abundance only to those who love the Lord and put him first. The great test of life is obedience to God. The great task of life is to learn the will of God and then do it. The great commandment of life is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. May God bless us to put the first commandment first, and as a result, reap peace in this life and eternal life with a fullness of joy in the life to come. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.